Good evening, everybody. This is Breiser here on TNS Radio, and I'm starting a bit later tonight, 10 p.m. Thanks for waiting in for me. And I've got Avalon Shackley with me again tonight. Avalon, say hello to everyone.
Hello, good evening, everybody. We are having a very interesting and exciting show ahead of us with our guest, Max Egan. Breiser is going to introduce him properly in a moment. So welcome, everybody, and I hope you're going to enjoy today's show.
Yes, indeed, our guest tonight is Max Egan, and I had Max on around this time last year, and we had a very interesting discussion, so I decided to invite him on again, and a year later, see how things stand. And a lot of you will probably know Max from his work. He's been on quite a lot of radio shows, and he's done quite a few documentaries, which are all very interesting. And so he might need much introduction, but we have him here tonight, and maybe he can tell us maybe a little bit about himself and the work he's doing, and we'll particularly go into the latest film that he's brought out, came out last month, called Transformation, which deals with the whole topic of transhumanism and the agenda there. So, Max, very early in the morning for you, so good morning to you, and thanks for coming on TNS Radio.
Hey, Breiser, thanks for having me on again, mate. Yeah, it's 7 o'clock in the morning here, so it's a little bit different for me doing radio at this hour, but it's all good.
Yeah, great. Great to have you on. You're sounding nice and fresh, and so that's good.
Well, that's good. Yeah, so for the people that don't know me, I've got a radio show called Surviving the Matrix. I've got a website called thecrowhouse.com. I've made 5 or 6 films now. And I do a radio show every week on a YouTube channel, and it's all there on thecrowhouse.com. Just go and check it out. And that's basically who I am if you haven't heard of me.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. And, Max, you've been kind of on this trail, I suppose. We're on this awakening for quite a few years now, and we're here in 2012. A lot of talk about 2012, things could happen, and the end of the Mayan calendar and whatnot. How do you see things have developed since you started on this track?
Oh, it's been a really interesting journey, actually, the whole thing. But there's definitely a lot going on this year. I don't think it's what everybody expects it's going to be. I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. We're seeing a massive escalation in legislation all around the planet, a real clamping down of the rights of the people. And the people aren't noticing. Again, they're just not noticing. The majority of people aren't noticing anyway. The police presence even here in the town that I'm living in, little beachside town, is really, really escalating. They want to put cameras around the streets, all sorts of stuff. And this is just a little tourist town. So it's happening all around the planet. And I'm finding a lot of the time I'm hearing from people in different countries, and they're wanting to come here, they're wanting to go there, they're wanting to go somewhere just that isn't their own country. They're seeing it happening in their country, and they're asking, well, where can I go? Where's somewhere I can go? And the problem is that it's happening everywhere. It's happening in all countries across the planet. Anybody who's part of the European Union or anybody that the Crown has basically ever touched, it's happening to all of these countries. Yeah. And so it's very, very interesting watching it all. And it's coming to a head in 2012. It's absolutely been coming to a head. And I think the world is about to change, but I'm just wondering what it's going to change into.
Yeah.
And personally, I think that it's a matter of choice. It's a matter of what we choose it to turn into, but it's got to be done collectively. And we've got some serious problems, and people need to become aware of the problems so that they can choose the right direction for humanity to go in. I think this is a crucial time when we get to make that choice.
Yeah, some people, Max, think that they can create the world they want any way they want just by their consciousness being in a positive state. And while I agree with this, we are all still part of the mass consciousness. So if the mass consciousness is overwhelmingly negative, it will affect us even if we ourselves are quite positive. Don't you think so?
Well, it will, but the thing is that people, they've got a kind of a misconception of what's going on. The New Age movement has been very good at this. It puts people in an off-balance state. And what you find is that people have this correct energetic state that they live in, but they don't apply it to the 3D world in which they inhabit. So that's the problem. You've got to apply it to the world around you. I look at the world around me, and I figure if I see suffering and I'm not speaking out about it or attempting to change that suffering, then how is this consciousness ever going to heal? And if we all simply noticed each other as each other and saw each other as valid, and like I finish every radio show with Inlakesh, which means I'm another yourself, if we could just view each other as ourselves and realize that this person that we're communicating with has a valid perspective of reality, then we could change the world. That's the problem. We just don't do that. We've been taught not to do that. So even if we're in this energetic state of the correct energy, we're off balance because we're not applying it to the world around us.
Mm-hmm. I think it needs a little bit of love in action, don't you think? A lot of people say, yes, I'm in a state of love, but then they can walk by a beggar on the street who's starving, and they just switch off the TV when they see what's going on with the Palestinians because it's too upsetting, and nothing changes.
Well, that's the thing, because they're not applying that energy to the world around them. And that's what we need to do. We absolutely need to operate in empathy in all that we do. There's a lot of people have said that the world isn't bad because there's evil in it. It's because good people look on and do nothing. And that's the problem. We've been trained to do nothing. So we do absolutely need to apply it to the world around us. You know, that's the first thing we should do. You know, and if we could just see other people as being ourselves, and when you see a beggar on the street, it isn't even a matter of helping the beggar. I mean, sure, you should help the beggar, but you should question why the beggar exists. Because the beggar exists because of this system. This system exists because we look on and do nothing. You know, we've allowed the creation of a system which has made humanity the most expendable thing within its parameters. And yet the system was created by humanity to serve humanity's needs. So it doesn't work at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, we created this so that the world could be run so we could have a society. Mm-hmm. And yet this system that we live under is spitting us out. It's just throwing us away. It's like it's just throwing us into a wood chipper. And the human race has just become the most expendable thing on Earth. And the planet and everything, I mean, the coal seam gas mining, everything that we're doing to the planet, we're destroying the planet in order to have a healthy economy. We're destroying ourselves in order to have a healthy economy. Everything we're doing is to support a healthy economy. And the economy is doomed to collapse anyway because look at what it does. It makes everything around it expendable in order to support itself. It's like a cancer. It's ridiculous. And yet we operate within this system because we're trained to think that this is just the way things are. This is the way the world works. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think we should do some serious thinking there.
Yeah, that's it. I do see, though, signs of awakening. And I hope it's not too late. But people are beginning to... And they know something very much is wrong now. They're seen through the smoke screen, if you want.
Yes, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's growing, even people you wouldn't expect it. Yeah. It's everywhere. Even with shopkeepers I'm seeing in town, people are just saying, "Hey, this is just not right. I don't know what's wrong, but I know something is not right."
Yeah.
And that's the first step.
That's it. And you explain to them that your politicians are lying to you anyway. So why would you get the truth from them anyway? So have a research this. Have a look at that. Read up on this. And then and start with the basic stuff, you know, where people are struggling with, you know, debt and stuff like that, you know.
You've just got to look at the world. That's the thing, Bryce. You've just got to look at the world around you. I mean, it's a complete mess. Why is it a complete mess? Well, could it possibly have something to do with the people who are running it? Mm-hmm. All the politicians? I mean, why are you in so much debt? Why are the prices of everything climbing? Why do we have to run around collecting paper in order to be here? And why is it getting so hard to survive? Why is electricity so dear? Why are rent so dear? Why is everything cost the amount that it does? And why do we have to run and struggle so much? Mm-hmm. You know, if we're living within a system created by us to service our needs, why does it operate the way it does? Mm-hmm. And people need to ask that basic question. And they are. People are beginning to see that there's something wrong. And that's where people who are awake need to come into the picture and tell them what's wrong, but tell them just little bits, just gradually, just ask them to question the actions of their politician. Ask them to question the things that I just said. Just to stop and think about things and look at the direction humanity's going in. But people are, I don't know, they just don't think that way anymore. I think it's the fluoride in the water, the alpha waves from the television, the electromagnetic soup they're swimming around in for their mobile phones and all this wireless stuff that everybody uses. I think all of it's a contributing factor.
Maybe that all this technology came in for around this time because they knew there'd be an awakening, maybe.
So, oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, look at, even when you look at things like the Schumann cavity resonance, and you look at the whole escalation of consciousness, the escalation of civilization. I mean, the world's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And as the world gets smaller and we all become more and more aware of each other, the overall human consciousness expands. And it's expanding at an exponential rate. And so, yeah, absolutely. They've brought all this stuff in because of the purpose it serves. You know, they give us all these toys, all these trinkets, and all this stuff. You know, we miss out on the world around us. And we become more and more addicted to this stuff, more and more disconnected from each other, more and more disconnected from the world. And we're living in this electromagnetic soup all the time. And everything that you experience is electromagnetic. Your whole body is an electromagnetic being. You know, touch, sight, taste, smell, everything. It's all electromagnetic impulses that travel around your body. And you read these electromagnetic signals. And yet you're swimming in an area now, like an environment, which is electromagnetically charged. The air's full of salts, you know, metallic salts from the chemtrails. You've got HARP, you've got wireless technology, you've got microwave towers everywhere, and it's all affecting the human body and very, very many, many levels and in different areas. And, you know, everything you experience is electromagnetic, and that's being interfered with. So it's interfering with people's connection to reality. You find wireless technology also shuts down your corpus callosum, stops your left brain and your right brain talking to each other. So people become more and more disconnected. Everyone's getting this totally left brain education. That's all they know is left brain. They don't ever think about left brain. It's very, very hard to find schools that even teach art or poetry or any of this right brain stuff anymore. Yeah. It's all mechanical. It's all left brain. And people were texting. Now texting on mobile phones and stuff, now they're losing their understanding of the language. So they're even losing their grammar. They've got a left brain education. Your left brain thinks in language. And yet the modern day kids don't even understand the language properly. So how can they understand reality properly at all? This is all conditioning. It's all designed to limit the human experience more and more and more and more and get human consciousness into this little subservient box. That's what's happening.
And Max, do you think that through the language we're connecting with the knowledge of our ancestors and the ones who have gone before us, and that this is the reason why they come into countries like they did here in Ireland, for example, and immediately forbid the native language and then teach everybody English or whatever the language of the conquerors, same as in America with the Native Americans, they were losing their languages. And in China, they changed the characters that the people had in the Cultural Revolution. They changed to the shorter version of characters, and that must be changing the way the brain perceives reality.
Well, absolutely, because if you've got a left-brain education and you're perceiving reality from a left-brain way, because people think in language, most people think in language, they don't listen to the right brain, they don't listen to the energy around them and talk in that language or understand reality in that language, it's all left brain. So if your understanding of the language is limited, or your understanding of what words mean, and certain words are left out of the language, then it becomes very difficult for you to understand reality. It's like when someone from another language, like in Sanskrit or Indian or something, they have a word that they will use which covers a myriad of things. It's like Dharma. The Indian word Dharma. You could write a whole book trying to explain to an English person what the word Dharma means, because Dharma is all sorts of understandings of how reality works, how your interaction with reality works, the four rules of Dharma, doing the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason. This way you find your path through life, understanding how Dharma works. We could write a whole book on it, but if I'm speaking Hindi, all I have to do is say Dharma. And they know exactly what I mean. So we've lost those sorts of words. We don't have words like that in our language. And this is exactly why all of these ancient cultures and all of these ancient languages have been wiped out, and they've all been replaced by English. It's why they want English to be the most commonly spoken language on earth. And people who speak English, and never really, you know, you get to learn maybe one or two other languages that are related to English, but you don't really get to learn any more. And a lot of people can't be bothered learning other languages because their understanding of English doesn't really make it seem like it's important to know other languages. I mean, if people can't speak English, well, what's wrong with them? Yeah. You know, that's kind of the way a lot of English-speaking people think. Mm-hmm. because I've been trained to think this way, you know, that's what the language does. The English language is basically a series of incantations. It's a series of spells. This is why you go to school, they teach you to spell. Yeah. You're spelling reality. You are thinking in language and you are spelling reality by your understanding of the language. And a lot of people from different languages, people who speak Russian, people who speak all sorts of different languages, when they speak English, they say, I feel very mechanical. I feel very disconnected from reality when I'm speaking English. Yeah. There's so many words that are not there that just simply do not give you the correct understanding of reality. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's why it's all happening. And it's very, very easy to see why it's done. And it's easy to see how it's been now taken further through texting. Yeah. Because when you understand trivium and quadrivium, and you've got trivium is grammar, logic, and rhetoric. If you don't understand the grammar, how the grammar works, you don't really know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, like words like individual, in divide you all, this sort of stuff. You know, people really, really need to look at what they're doing and what they're thinking. And it's all been very clever, but you can see how it's being done if you really step back and look at it.
Well, it's also the language of commerce and legalese. So, I know when I look at the Irish language as well, I mean, again, a very poetic language when you hear it spoken, when you hear it literally translated, it's amazing, you know. But again, they're peppering it now with English words here and there, and it actually sounds ridiculous, you know. Mm. This is what our kids in school are now. It's been diluted, mm-hmm. and Englishism, if you want to call it that, has been brought onto the language, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's all the Shakespearean revolution and stuff is where they all really did it. And I don't think that all the Shakespeare works. I mean, I go fully with the theory that the works of Shakespeare were written by the Bacon Society and that it was done in order to change the language.
Yeah,
they took a lot of words in the language. They created a lot of new words that meant certain things. And these are all directed at the left brain but done through a right brain medium. It's almost like right brain work designed to disconnect you from your creative thinking and creative energetic experience with reality and put you into this new understanding of how reality works. That's what I think Shakespeare was, and I think it was done by the Bacon Society, and this is what led to the founding of America and all the things that went on from there. I think all of it was planned. I think America was Bacon's New Atlantis. And America should more likely, you know, more rightly be called the land of Francis Bacon than anything else. He was the real founder of America.
So do you think that we should be, I feel like we should be connecting with our roots and the language of our ancestors more and try to resist the Anglicization of our native languages?
Well, I mean, the spoken language is just one thing. I mean, we could make up words for this language. It doesn't matter. Languages can be, you know, they can evolve into anything. It's not really important what language that we speak, but it's important that we continue the understandings that our ancestors had. And what is also really important is that we open up our right brains. And the best way to do that, unfortunately, is to get rid of all this wireless stuff, get our corpus callosum is active again and start reading energy. Get our DNA active again. Get our fluoride out of our water. Get all this GMO food, all the stuff that we're bombarded with. See, it's a multi-pronged attack. That's the thing. We need to have the understandings of these ancient languages, and we need to preserve these ancient languages, at least have people there that we can go and talk to. And when we get a particular understanding of something, well, we can incorporate that word into our language or something like that. But I mean, it's very difficult when you think about the vast meanings and the emotional content of almost every word that you say, and you think about what it would be like to take certain words out of the language. Like if there is no word for rebellion, there's no word for freedom. How do you know what these things are? You know, this is what they talk about in 1984. There's no word for freedom. How do you know what freedom is? You just know it's something that you crave, but you don't know what it is that you crave.
I think it's
you just know that things aren't the way this, you know, it's not the way it's supposed to be. So,
yeah, Max, I think we're actually going there, because it seems like I noticed that the language is being changed. It's definitely going in the direction of 1984.
Well, the thing is, we're already there. when you look at something, things like I just said before about how the word Dharma means, it has this incredible, opens up this incredible understanding of reality just by understanding what that word means. It gives you a completely different perspective of reality. So just one word, that's one word that's been taken from the language. One understanding of reality that's been taken from our consciousness. And this is how consciousness is limited. This is how our understanding of reality is limited. And we're already there. We're not going there. We're already there. And where they want to take us is somewhere completely different. I mean, where they want to take us is beyond, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Even Aldous Huxley, when he died, he said that having seen the world in the 50 years since he wrote that book, he wouldn't have put it 400 years in the future. He would have put it 100 years in the future, and it would have been four times worse than what he said in the book. And that's where we're heading. If we don't choose to do something about it, I think that's a lot of what 2012 is. I think this year we get the opportunity to make that decision, to make that choice.
And that kind of brings you on to the recent film documentary you made called Transformation, which deals with transhumanism. And I have to say, this is the most worrying development of all. If you see what the plan is for these transhumanists or so-called scientists, they literally want to turn us into machines. And you talk a lot about how the chemtrails are very much a part of all this agenda. So basically, you want to tell us how you got started on that, what made you, how long it took you to do it, and what got you on that road?
Well, it took me about 18 months to do, and the research was coming through all the time, and different areas were opening up, and that's why it took so long. But the transhumanist agenda is very much on the table. I mean, people talk about it as being something off in the future, and sure, it'll be a little bit into the future before it actually eventuates, but the procedure to get it all happening is underway right now, and it's well underway. And when you look at what is in the chemtrails, you can go to Cliff Carnacom's site, CarnacomInstitute.com, and you can check out the stuff he's got there from the tests he's done on the chemtrails. He's got a wealth of information there. And you can just look at all the other stuff that's going on, the smart meters, the GM fee, all the things, and you've got to step back when you look at all this stuff and think, well, taken individually, all these things doesn't really make a great deal of sense. But when you put it all together, it begins forming a picture. And when you see people such as Ray Kurzweil, the man who discovered the exponential curve, one of the 30 most influential people on the planet, talking about the transhumanist agenda and talking about how one day everything will be merged with nanotechnology, plants, trees, rocks, everything, and then we're going to send intelligent nanotechnology out into a space to assimilate the universe. That's basically what he talks about in his film Transcendent Man. So they tell you what they're doing. And then you've got all the subtext and the programming that's coming out in the movies now about nanotechnology and all those sorts of stuff, controlled environments, Agenda 21, all the stuff we just saw in the Hunger Games, all this sort of stuff. It's all there. They're telling you what they're doing. And then, okay, well, let's have a look at it. Let's see what's in the chemtrails. Okay, so you start culturing saliva. You start culturing air samples and things like this, and you're starting to find that there's these little fibers, little filaments that you can grow out of this stuff. Okay, so what are these filaments? Well, people like Cliff Carnacom have gone and done research with them. They've taken these filaments, they put them in a Bunsen flame, they poured bleach on them, poured acid on them. Hasn't affected them at all. And they start looking at them and finding that, okay, they seem like a cross between the three life forms that exist on Earth, which is bacteria, archaea, and eukarya. And they are extremely robust. And they're based in GNA, not DNA. GNA is a nanotechnology building block, and it's DNA's chemical cousin. So this stuff's being found in air samples, it's being found in saliva samples, so it's there, it's infiltrating through everything. And this is how they are merging the planet with machine. And this is basically being done to control evolution, the evolution of the human spirit, the evolution of the human species, the evolution of all life on Earth, and control reality and basically assimilate reality, because this way we can become this collective consciousness that we've always known we are, but it's going to be a machine version of it. It's going to be a controlled version of it, because this way, if you put different genetic codes in different parts of the population than what you're taking, if you control the genetic codes, and you control the science, and you control all of this stuff, you can make yourself something completely different to what you make everybody else. And that's kind of what's going on. And what we're seeing is a splitting of the species, and we're seeing the devolution of part of the human race and the evolution of another part of the human race. That's the transhumanist agenda. And it's being done right now. It's being done right under everybody's nose. Nobody's really looking at what's going on because they're all going down rabbit holes. Everyone's trying to establish their freedom through all the free man movements and all this sort of stuff, which is all great because it gives people an understanding of that they are free and how the law works. But to me, it's all fiction. What's real is humanity and the planet we live on. It doesn't matter about all of these different forms you can fill out. It doesn't matter about birth certificates. It doesn't matter about any of it because it's all fiction. It's just an idea. You are free. That's it. There is nothing between you and your creator. And there's no reason why anybody should feel that they are not free. And if we can just get into that mindset and start treating each other as ourselves, the world changes in 3 seconds. Now, we can do things to combat this nanotechnology. We can keep our bodies alkaline. We can stop the smart meter grids from being put in place. We can stop using wireless technology. There's lots of things we can do to prevent the direction that we're being led into. But if we don't choose to do so, we are going to be led in this direction. The first step, of course, is waking people up to the fact that this is happening. And it's a big thing. It's a really, really big issue. And something that I've said to people when they watch the film is that they need to be aware that they're stepping into some pretty deep water when they get into what the implications of this film are. And I started off kind of gentle and slow and just asking people to question reality, and then went into this sort of transhumanist issue and sort of tried to break it to people as gently as possible. But this is what the research says. This is where the world appears to be going. And I think we've been given the choice to do something about it. So let's stand up and do it, because I think we're capable of some really great things, some really wonderful things. And I don't agree that scientists, and I think they're mad scientists personally, should be in control of the evolution of humankind, because merging man with machine and then sending nanotechnology out into the universe to assimilate the universe so that they can create God, the God that they control, this is complete insanity as far as I'm concerned.
It certainly is insanity, yeah. And
well, it is. Well, the thing is, we come from a collective consciousness, so we want to embrace this type of thing, but we've been so limited down through our left brain understanding of reality that we've lost our connection to reality, and now we're being offered this digital, clunky machine version of it, which will be a very controlled version. That's the problem.
And I just have one of their websites open, a website called humanityplus.org. And I have to say, Max, they tried to sell it very well, but there's definitely, you just have to read between the lines there on a lot of it. You know, they go through, like, explain what is a transhuman, what is a post-human. What is a
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all there right in front of people's faces if they simply step back and look. You know, just take the time to look around them and see what's actually going on here. And, you know, that's what's going on. That's what all the evidence says.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying, they asked, there's a FAQ part on the website, and it says, do transhumanists advocate eugenics? And it says, eugenics in a narrow sense refers to the pre-World War II movement in Europe and the United States to involuntarily sterilize the genetically unfit and encourage breeding of the genetically advantaged. These ideas are entirely contrary to the tolerant humanistic and scientific tenets of transhumanism. In addition to condemning the coercion involved in such policies, transhumanists strongly reject the racialist and classist assumptions on which they were based, along with the notion that eugenic improvements could be accomplished in a practically meaningful time frame through selective human breeding. So
yeah, well, I mean, eugenics really is about the controlling of evolution, really, if you want to look deeper at it. That's what it's about. And yeah, they don't want any racial issues. They don't want any of that sort of stuff. They just want one race, the machine race.
That's right.
So we won't have any racial issues then, will we?
No.
You just want to have... You want to have the perfect slave race. That's what they try to breed us into.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But again, some of the people that are working within this transhumanist society and transhumanist agenda, it isn't that they want to really be in control of a slave race. They want these enhancements. They absolutely want to know more about reality, and some of them are genuinely good people. But what they don't understand is that they already have access to all that information if they can get all this stuff that I mentioned before out of their environments. Get rid of the fluoride, get rid of the GM food, get rid of all of the toxins, and get out of this English language understanding of reality. Start learning some higher languages, start operating with some higher senses, and you can experience a lot more than you are now. You don't need to do it through machines.
That's right.
But they don't believe that. They don't believe that that exists, because they are so educated in their left brain. Mm-hmm. And the more left brain educated you get, the more disconnected from any right brain understandings you become, because you become more and more logical, shall we say. Mm-hmm. It's all got to work within these little parameters. It's got to work to these little laws and these little rules. Whereas if your right brain's active, you read the entire universe energetically and you connect with all that there is. This can be seen simply through my stroke of insight. Jill Bolte Taylor, the neuroanatomist who had a stroke and lost her left brain. Suddenly she was communicating with reality. She perceived herself as being part of the energetic stuff of the universe, and she could communicate with it all. She was expansive. She was huge. She was the entire universe. And that's how she felt. And then she was able to come back and recover from a stroke and tell you all about it as a neuroanatomist. She basically tells you that this is what your right brain does. And so the more people get educated in this left brain, they want that connection. They want to connect with the universe. They want to be all that they can be. And so they work towards this agenda. But you've got to look at who finances it. Who finances it are these rich families and these rich banking cartels who finance and compartmentalize all of this research, so that they, at the very top, get the right stuff, and they get to turn everybody else into this robot race, while they get to go where humanity is supposed to go, but they get to control the rest. That's the way it's all going. So it's very difficult to judge the people that even work within these organizations, because they truly believe they're doing the right thing. They don't believe this right brain connection with reality actually even exists. They don't believe there are higher senses. They don't believe that there's anything more than a five-sense reality. They see animals and question reality. They see animals run from an area where there's going to be a tsunami 3 days before the tsunami comes. But they just think, oh, that's instinct. The animals know this stuff. Well, hang on, we're made of the same stuff as them. How come we don't know this stuff? Because we can't communicate with reality around us the way they can, because our DNA is operating with 3% of its capability, and we're stuck in a left brain understanding of reality. They never think that way.
Right. Because I did notice as well that a few people who were being interviewed, and they were very kind of enthusiastic about this. Oh, yeah, I'd like to be able to tap into the internet world, you know, and work with, you know, mind and computer and all that. And I'm thinking, what? You know, you're just linking yourself to a machine, which man built.
Mm. Yeah, well, you can see the attractiveness of it, though. I mean, imagine having that connection to all that stuff. You just plug in and go, wow, I'm suddenly hooked up online, you know. But the thing is, you are anyway. You just don't know that you are, because you don't know how to read that information anymore, because you don't use your right brain. You're trained not to think that way. All this information is coming at you all the time, but you don't know how to decode the information. You've got access to everything, you know, everything in the universe, but you just don't know how to read that information, because you're locked down. So the trick is to not start finding mechanical ways to connect back to that source, because anything that's mechanical can be controlled by somebody else.
That's right.
So once they've got the whole of humanity hooked into this mechanical grid and this information grid, this internet, then it can just be controlled. Everything can be controlled. The whole human experience, everything you know, everything you are, everything you do, everything you feel, can all be controlled if you get locked into that mechanical way of doing it. What you've got to do is realize that you can already do it without that mechanical way.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so difficult to wake people up, because a lot of them aren't doing the right thing, and they really do want this connection for humanity. They want this betterment. But because they're so educated in left brain, they just don't understand the other side of things.
I've actually had an experience of this expansion of the mind in 2008. There was very similar to the experience that this lady described in my stroke of insight. In fact, I found it so touching when she talked about it that I was crying, because I remembered I had this experience of complete connection with everything on the planet and completely expanded, and I could feel everything. It's like all life was one gigantic symphony, and we just one note in that symphony. And I felt emotions and, just everything I wanted to know, it was right there. And it just came through spiritual work and meditation that I've done and shamanic work. And I really believe everybody can have it. If they develop themselves spiritually, it would be much better to sit in meditation an hour a day than to try to get all these electronic gadgets.
Oh, very much. It's interesting that you had that experience in 2008, because I had a similar experience in 2008, which is when I started making these films. So, and that was an experience where I connected with absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's a symphony. It is absolutely a symphony being played by an incredibly amazing mind. And, that's what reality is. And we are all simply expressions in that symphony. And I connected with everything. Actually, I spoke about it on a few shows before, so it's interesting. 2008, I know a couple of people that had very, very amazing, very moving experiences in 2008, so there's definitely something about that year.
Yeah, and I don't know how your 2007 was, but 2007 seemed to have been a real hell for me. It was a real hell. 2006 also, and then in 2008 at the beginning is when I had this experience, and it changed everything.
Yeah, for me as well. That's amazing. How about you, Brian? You have a 2008 experience?
2008 was a kind of a very traumatic time for me, actually, but it was a real awakening moment was when my wife died, you know. So, unfortunately, she committed suicide, and she suffered from depression badly, and she was on all sorts of antidepressants. And of course, I didn't know anything about this at this time, what these things do. Well, I thought she was taking too many anyway. But then one day she decided to depart to the other side. But it was the following year, actually, she came back to me and gave me a couple of messages. I didn't see her. She was just there. I could feel the presence. First thing she said was that, for me to let go of the guilt and the pain. It's all, you know, she's fine. She's doing great. She's having a great time. Not to worry. Second thing was that I got things to do, and I'll be helping you along the way. And the third thing was to lose the fear. And then that was it. She was gone. And after that, I'll tell you, that was my big moment. But it started in 2008, really. So it's kind of weird as well that things happened around then.
Yeah, I had an amazing experience in that year, and the world's been incredible since then. It really has. Like, just to see the amount of awakening that's happening with people, and all of the ramping up of this whole New World Order agenda that they're attempting to do. But the more they ramp it up, the more people wake up. That's the thing. That's the problem with fascism. Once it becomes visible, it becomes visible, you know. And that gives the people the opportunity to deal with it. And people are beginning to question why the world is the way it is, why everybody is struggling so much, why there's so many homeless people. And it's all opportunity. So I think we will change things. I don't think they're going to win with the whole transhumanist agenda. I think it's well underway, but even that is becoming, you know, it's kind of in your face. Mm. And we still have plenty of ways of shutting it down.
Yeah. Well, again, just telling people, just look up in the sky. I mean, people are noticing them now, you know.
Well, the sky's changed too. The sky's changed color, Brizer. It's a really light blue now. It's a light metallic blue. And when you cast your eyes down towards the horizon, it gets whiter and whiter and whiter. And it's happening all around the globe. It's not this deep blue that it was when I was a child.
Exactly. I remember that deep blue also. And the other thing I noticed was that we are losing a lot of plants, and there used to be a lot of blueberries in the forest when I was a child, and blackberries and raspberries too in the forest, a lot of blackberries especially, and the same places don't have that anymore. So it seems useful plants, herbs and things you can eat are actually disappearing, probably from all the chemtrailing.
Yeah, well, the aluminium content of the chemtrails is doing that. It's poisoning the soil. the soil is getting more and more neutral. You can look at film, what in the world are they spraying? They do a lot of soil tests, and as farmers, they're saying the soil's neutral, the soil's, soil's supposed to be alkaline. It's supposed to be acid. It's supposed to be different things in different places, but it's just becoming neutral everywhere. And it's not good for plants, and it's killing everything. Of course, Monsanto are producing aluminium-resistant seeds for us all, mm-hmm. so we can have a GM version of reality. Mm-hmm. The GM food is a real worry as well. That's something that, that human beings really, really are not noticing is what GM food does. Mm-hmm. The tests that they've done on rats, the tests they've done on mice and animals, they find that after three generations, these animals usually can't breed. They become very small and stunted. It really, really does affect them very, very badly. And all of these tests are out there, and people just aren't noticing it. And that's another really important thing you can do to protect yourself against this whole agenda is to not eat GM food, which means really you shouldn't eat pretty well everything from the supermarket. You should be growing it yourself or getting it from farmers' markets or just getting organic fruit and vegetables. If you're going to eat meat, try to find someone that has organic grass-fed cattle or something, or go and hunt your own or something like that. You know, if you are a meat eater, try not to eat stuff that's got bovine growth hormone in it and all these other things that they inject cattle and stuff with, mm-hmm. and really really try not to eat GM food because it is affecting you on a genetic level. And that's something that is absolutely insidious. And again, this is attacking us from the inside out. See, people think of transhumanism, they think of the Borg and stuff like that. They think of eyepieces and machines that we attach to our heads and wristbands and stuff. But what if they do it from the inside out? What if they change your very genetics and merge you with machine from the inside out, but it's an organic machine, you know? And that's what appears to be happening. And when you look at the properties of this stuff, you see how it is so robust. It behaves like archaea, which is very, very robust life forms. And if you've got people out in mining colonies and people out in situations where they're doing coal seam gas mining and getting all this stuff that the big cities need to survive, these are going to be very, very harsh environments. And you're going to need a very robust species. And especially the way the planet's going. I mean, even you've got people like Deepak Chopra now. Now, this guy's mainstream, you know, let's laugh all the way to the bank type of spiritualism, you know. And he's even saying, if we don't stop coal seam gas mining, we've got 100 years of life left on the planet. So people are, even people that have been doing, I mean, and nothing against Deepak Chopra, but there are a lot of people who make a lot of money from all this spiritual stuff. But even these people now seem to be stepping away from that and saying, hey, we've got serious issues here. It's not all about this spiritual mumbo-jumbo. We've got some serious issues in the physical reality in which we live that are being perpetuated because of our failure to apply our spiritual understanding to the world around us. So let's step up to the plate. This is the opportunity humanity's always needed, and it's right here. It's been handed to us on a silver platter. We have now the opportunity to see how destructive this system is and to realize how we can change it, and all we have to do is step up to the plate and do it.
So what is the next thing that people should do once they've realized, okay, we are being cheated here, our planet is being destroyed, the whole thing is a big deception? How do we step out of it? Because it's become like a straitjacket now, and the cage is getting smaller and smaller. It's getting more difficult to escape from it now.
Well, it is. We're trapped by our society. You know, we've created a society and we've become trapped by that society. Jiddu Krishnamurti said this. I put this right at the beginning of the film when he said that, and that's exactly what's happened. But what we have to do is we have to realize the society is fiction. It's just an idea. It only exists on paper. It's just a meme. We go to school, we're taught this is how reality works, but it doesn't. It's completely different to this. You know, but we're trapped in this left brain understanding, and we don't have the means of stepping away from it because we don't have the power of community to do so. So you've got to lead by example. You've got to get to know your neighbors. You've got to get these understandings into people's minds in your community. The best thing you can do is lead by example in all that you do. Be a pleasure to be around. Always help people. Show them how they can help others. And then talk to people. Talk to them, not at them. Or talk with them, not at them. Just give them some basic understandings of how reality works and lead by example. You've absolutely got to do it. You've got to question authority. You've got to question anything that seems to override natural law. Any legislation that presumes to override natural law. You've got to question it. You've absolutely got to question it. But you need to have the community around you questioning it with you. So you've got to get to know these people. Now, we live in divided societies. We're trained to live in divided societies. We don't have town meetings anymore. We don't have Sunday afternoons in the park anymore. Any of the stuff. I used to do when I was a kid, we used to have town meetings. We didn't have television or any of that sort of stuff. You know, it only just came in when I was about five. But even before that, there wasn't any television. And even when I was five or six, not every home had a television. Yeah. You know, so television's really, really changed the world. It's locked people down. It's given people this completely false perception of reality. People have allowed public servants to take over the mansion. More and more legislation designed to remove more and more rights of the people. But, you know, I said the other day to someone, I said that, you know, if you breach a statute legislation, you know, statute regulation, and there's no injured party for your actions, and then the state comes along and they arrest you and they beat you up and they throw you in jail, well, now there's an injured party, you. So who broke the law? Because in the breach of a law, there's got to be an injured party. And yet in the breach of a statute, the only injured party is the person who's prosecuted. So who broke the law?
Yeah, exactly.
How do we come to a situation where this is going on?
Yeah.
You know? It's going on because we live in these divided societies, these divided communities. So you've got to get information out to people and you've got to lead by example and be a pillar of the community, basically, and always stand up when you see injustice. Always speak out. Do it from a polite, respectful position, but always speak out and do the right thing in all that you do. That's how we change it.
There's a chat room here. Max has a couple of questions here. I'm just trying to scroll back here. Well, there's more comments. It says, hi, Max. I found a document on fertilizer use from the UN, originally written in 1965, where it details the absorbent qualities or quantities, let's say, of aluminium in the soil would be detrimental to farming and food production.
Well, there you go, yeah. But, of course, you can grow Monsanto food, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so they knew back then in the 60s. So they were even doing studies back then in the 60s. Why would they be doing studies on aluminium in particular?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they want to know, okay, this is the stuff we use.
It seems to me that whenever they find something that's bad for people or that will decrease our ability of being self-sufficient or destroy our food supplies, then this is what they're immediately going to use.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all business, really. I mean, you don't want people to be self-sufficient. I mean, you can't control them. You can't control free people. You can't control innocent people. See, government, that's another thing. Government can't control innocent people. They need people to be criminals so that they can clamp down on them, because they can clamp down on criminal behavior. But when there aren't criminals, people just aren't usually criminals. People are basically good. So what they do is they legislate to make everything a crime. So then now we're all criminals. And if we're self-sufficient, well, we don't have to be part of their society. So they don't want self-sufficiency. They don't want people to be able to look after themselves. They want everybody to be dependent upon the system and everybody to have to follow certain rules and regulations that they write down, that it's possible for them to break at any moment of the day, so that they can all become uniform in the eyes of the law. They can all eat what they're told to be eat, do what they're told to be do, work how they're told to be work, sleep when they're told to sleep. You know, it's complete control. That's what they're doing, and they've been working at it for years. And this is why all this globalization's happening as well, free trade. What free trade is about is linking countries up together so that every country is interdependent upon other countries. You know, your Ireland will be buying your apples from Germany. You know, you'll be getting your oil from somewhere else, and you're this from somewhere else, your steel from Germany, something, you know, like, it's ridiculous that everybody's interdependent. So no country can be self-sufficient, because a self-sufficient country is self-sustainable. It's independent. It's a free country. Mm-hmm. They don't want that. They want everybody interdependent upon everybody else, or the country's interdependent on everybody else. They don't want you growing your own food. They don't want you getting your own water. They don't want you to do anything that can free you from this system. Because the system is what controls people. And the system is just an idea. It's just stuff they wrote down on paper.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Jordan Maxwell called it, the system's called a sewer, isn't it? Is that a Latin? Or, it's to do with Latin. But,
in Roman times, the sewer.
The sewer, yeah, that's a good word for it.
But you can see how they're doing it, and it's very clever. But we can still free ourselves from it. But, you know, the first step is to be aware that it's there, and we're never going to be able to do it unless we respect each other and work together to do it. It's got to come from the people. It's got to be grassroots. There's no organization that's going to do it. There's a lot of well-meaning organizations out there that really want world change, but it has to start with the individual.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are really not prepared. I mean, we don't know exactly what is going to happen, but there are some scenarios that are possible. If you just think, we just had a power outage here a few days ago, and it just wasn't very long, maybe for half an hour or an hour, and then the power was back. But you see immediately how nothing's working when your power isn't there anymore. And if we really get a big solar flare, we could be left without power, and everything works with the electricity, even your, you know, the water that comes in your house. Just imagine the disaster if nobody can go to the ATM and take the money out from the cash machine, and if they can't go to the supermarket anymore. I've actually experienced once there was a problem with the cash machines. In the supermarket, there was a problem with the electronic system, so they wouldn't even let people buy with cash anymore. They just closed the whole supermarket. And in a scenario like this, most people won't have any food, water. They won't even, a lot of people won't even have matches or candles at home.
Yes, the problem. So this is why they've herded people into cities. Yeah, they're very, very vulnerable when they're in a city situation. Very difficult to grow gardens when you live in cities. You know, so people, it's very difficult to become self-sufficient or to be self-sufficient in any way when you're in a city. All you've got is your little apartment and you can't eat your furniture. So, you know, people don't think that way. They're very, very dependent upon the system. And a lot of people don't want social change. They don't want any change because they're not prepared to take responsibility for themselves. So we don't even have to have any major collapse in order to change things. All we have to do is to start respecting each other and to start questioning authority. Yes, when people have to suffer because of the system, when we have to put economic profits and put the economy and put the bottom line of some company over people's basic needs, we need to question why. Because it isn't about money. It's about us. It's about the people. It's about the planet. It's about the future we're creating. It's not about how many dollars you have in the bank. It's all fiat currency anyway. And why do you even have to pay to be alive? What's that all about? You're born here. Why do you have to pay to be here? It doesn't make any sense. So people need to change their perspective. We can still have a system. We can have cities. We can have electricity. We can have all the transport flowing, doing everything that we do now. But all we have to do is do it from a state of respect for each other, mutual respect, from make empathy the base currency, the base foundation of our whole economic structure and our whole social structure. Make empathy the whole root of it all, and we could change reality. Simply view everybody as valid. Everybody has been just as valid as everybody else. I'm not asking for communism or socialism or anything. I'm just saying respect people. People just have lost that basic respect. They're taught that it's all about economic growth. Yeah. It's all about how much stuff you've got. It's all about how many things you can buy, how many trinkets you can have, how much cash or digital credits you can have in the bank. And that's success. And at the end of life, the one with the most wins. But that's not what it's about. And we've lost that connection to each other. We've lost that connection to the world around us because of what we think reality is. We think the economy and the system is reality. Yeah. But it's not. It's a creation of our own minds.
Yeah, just saying, like, the use of words again there, like the word economy you just said there, right? Well, the economy, economize means to cut back, so how can that grow? I mean, I'm talking about economic growth.
You've got to cut back everything from everybody else in order to support the system.
And we have to be competitive.
Make humanity cut back. Expendable.
Yeah, let's cut back in a competitive way, you know? I tell you. The words they use, it spells, you know?
Well, it is. It's all spells. Yeah. It's all spells. Like, a human being. A being is the hue of man. You're an individual. Individe you all. Mm-hmm. You know, you're living in a divided reality and you're a being that is the hue of man. Mm-hmm. What's that all about? You know, it's basic programming through language, and people don't understand reality because of the programming of the language and the way they're taught this left brain understanding, all the whole education system's designed to your left brain. That's really limiting us. And like I said, with the texting, it's getting further and further limited, and we're getting more and more mechanical. Very easy to see how it's been done. It's a multi-pronged attack that we're under. But people are waking up, and people are seeing it, and so people are seeing the need to connect with their community now. They are seeing the need to respect others. I mean, there's certain, hard-nosed business people that won't do it for a while. But, it all comes down to grassroots, and we can do this, we can get through it, but we have to have that basic respect for each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Max, we'll take a little break and go grab yourself a tea or coffee or whatever, and we'll play a couple of tunes, and we'll come back to you after that. So stay tuned, everyone, and we'll talk to you in a bit, Max, all the way from Australia. He got up very early this morning to talk to us, and that's Max Egan. Welcome back, Max.
Nice to be back, Roger.
Good stuff. And there was a couple of questions earlier in the chat, Max, which I've tried to scroll back on, but one was about what's kind of going on in Australia. I think you did a show about it not too long ago, particularly about sterilization of children and all these lots of other draconian laws that have come in there. It seems Australia, which everyone has this image of this kind of very laid-back, easy-going, surfing, beach kind of nice place, it's turning, it doesn't sound too good at the moment from what you talked about anyway.
Well, it's turning into basically the corporate whore of the mining companies. I mean, it's pretty bad what they're doing all around the coastline, coal seam gas mining all through the areas, big gas hubs they're building everywhere. And over in Western Australia, they brought in some laws to protect children, of course, that says that 12-year-olds can consent to sterilization and all sorts of stuff. And they bring it in, it's just for this section of society. But when you look at the wording of the laws, you find that it's so broad that it can be applied to anybody. And these sorts of laws have no place in a sane society. We're seeing the same thing in New Zealand, where they brought in a search and surveillance bill, which basically says that the whole bunch of different government organizations can detain you for basically any reason that they see fit. And once you're detained, you don't even have to be arrested. They can go and search your house and search your workplace. They can also go and search your work and houses of all of your friends as well. Mm. They say, this is to protect you from against gangs. If we pick up a member of a bike gang, we need to go and be able to search his place and then go and search all of his associate places to protect you from crime. Mm. But again, the wording of the law can be applied to anybody. So it means they can pick you up. They can pick up John Smith down the street, detain him for whatever reason they see fit, and then they can go and search his house and the houses of all of his friends, everybody in his address book.
Yeah.
So this is Nazi legislation, and it's happening all around the globe. It's happening in every country. There's nowhere you can go, like I was saying earlier. There's nowhere you can perceive, this will be a safe country to go to, because it's happening there as well, and it's certainly happening here in Australia. Mm-hmm. It is a very laid-back culture. The people here are very laid-back, almost too laid-back, mm-hmm. which is why all of these draconian laws are being brought in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, Australian people are very, very much into beer and surfing and football, which is why they are so apathetic when it comes to politics and stuff like that. They just don't want to know about it. They go and vote on voting day, and they'll be for whoever they particularly like at the time. They don't even perceive it as important. Mm-hmm. And it is important, and Australians are unfortunately notorious for just not paying attention to what's going on in the world.
Mm. Yeah, I've been to Australia as well, a very nice place, and New Zealand, and like I heard as well in New Zealand that there's laws coming out now that, growing your own garden now could be considered a crime, Did you hear anything on that?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they're doing that all over the place. They're trying to do that in America. They're closing down raw food places. Yeah. They're doing food bills in New Zealand. The first step in the food bill is to prevent you from sharing food.
Is that actually come in now, or has it just been tabled? Or
I'm not sure whether it's come in or not. I'll have to talk to Vinnie Eastwood about that.
Yeah.
But it was definitely much on the table. I think it actually might have come in, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
But they're trying to make it illegal for you to, if you grow a pumpkin, you can't pass one over the fence to your neighbour. Mm-hmm. It's got to be go through all this approval, government approval, and it's got to be, tested for this or tested for that, so it's all about GM. It's all about Monsanto. And that's another thing with chemtrails as well. That is very much bringing about the introduction of Monsanto food everywhere because it's the only food that's going to grow. And it was recently there were 270,000 farmers that took Monsanto to court for polluting their crops, and Monsanto won the case. You know, so GM food is contaminating everything. It's getting into everything, and that's another really, really big issue that we're facing.
Right. Another question here from Pete Max is, when Max met with David Icke last year, did you get on with him, and do you agree with what most of the info that David Icke talks about?
Look, I saw David Icke's presentation on the Gold Coast, and he spoke for about 10 hours, or 10 and a half hours, and it was very, very good. I mean, I've got to say that I have not heard a better presentation by anybody. And the time that I spent with him out in Central Australia, I found him to be very easy to talk to, very down to earth, very nice individuals. I didn't ask him about the reptile agenda. He didn't mention it much at the talk. And I think there are bigger things. And when I look at the whole reptile thing that David goes into, I mean, I see this in all cultures all around the earth. And he's just run with it. Okay, well, this is what they all say, and they do. Yeah. All ancient cultures talk about reptile gods. They talk about ancient reptiles. They talk about reptiles breeding with the earth. You know, the earthlings, you know, we've got this reptilian brain, we've got all this stuff going on, so it's a possibility. Yeah. I'm not going to completely rule it out because I know there's a lot going on in reality that I certainly can't experience because I'm only experiencing things from a five-sense perspective. Mm-hmm. And so it's a possibility. But again, it's another rabbit hole. I mean, I don't see it's necessary to find someone to point the finger at. I think a lot of this sort of stuff, and we all probably start off in that direction when we start on this research, is we want someone to point the finger at. But really, what the finger needs to be pointed at is the system itself and the lockdown state of human consciousness and the way to escape from that, the way to free ourselves and emancipate ourselves from this control system. Because once we do that, who they are will become apparent by default. And it's not really about finding someone to point the finger at. It's about implementing the solutions to the situation we find ourselves in. But yeah, I found David to be a very nice individual. I found him very easy to talk to. I found him honest. I found him down to earth. I included a little bit from him in the film when we were talking one day. And yeah, I don't have a problem with David Icke at all.
Yeah, I feel the same myself. You know, I've listened to a lot of his stuff, and it certainly resonated with me. You know, so.
Again, well, if you do want to know how the grid works and you do want to know how it all happened and through the bloodline and how the control system works, I mean, David Icke will give you a great presentation on that. And he can talk for 10 hours and he can keep it flowing. And there's your control grid. It's right there in front of your face. Mm. And he's got that down perfectly, regardless of what you think about who they might be. Mm. Let's just look at the system. Let's become aware of the existence of the system. And he'll give, do a great presentation on that, and that's what counts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And again, keeping to what's happening in Australia, because as I was saying to you before the show, there's unemployment's got very bad here in Ireland, and a lot of young kids coming out of school are thinking, "Oh, Australia, there's still plenty of work out there." You know, now of course the work is probably construction type, but you know. You have to ask, you know, we have to talk to some of these young kids and say, okay, you can go to Australia, you might earn a bit of money and whatever, but look what you're doing. If you are working, say, for example, for a company who does fracking on a building site, well, you know, you're contributing to destroying the water. What good is it, you know, is this job to you if you can't drink your water, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the thing as well. I mean, there's lots of work like that is, in mining companies and coal seam gas, and there's, you can get high-paid work in the Northern Territory now is basically security guards, but that's just going around terrorizing Aboriginals, basically. Is all you're doing. It's all working for the mining companies. The whole, we have a thing in the Northern Territory here in Australia called the intervention, where the government intervened and they prevented people from being able to buy alcohol, and they have reports of child abuse, so they wanted to be able to go into anybody's property in all these Aboriginal places, and there was never any child abuse. There's more child abuse in the western suburbs in Sydney than there is in Northern Territory. You know, there was like about seven reports or six reports or four reports or something, and there was actually nobody actually found committing any of this child abuse that we heard about. And they use that basically now to go onto any property they want, which is just to open the properties up for gas mining. That's what it's all about. And they've used, you know, the guise of protecting the children. And it's basically racist laws that have been brought in the Northern Territory. So, yeah, there's jobs doing that. We get a lot of backpackers and a lot of tourists working in hospitality, working in, you know, falafel joints or kebab shops or, you know, travel agencies and stuff around here. But they come to Australia, and Australia's got one of the highest costs of living in the world. Yeah. So you probably come here and you might make, you know, $800 or $900 a week working in some little shop, but it's going to cost you $500 a week for a house.
Yeah,
so there's over half your wage gone in that. It's going to cost you so much money to live here that the money you make, it's not really going to be leaving the country with you. Make sure you spend most of it while you're here because the cost of living is so high, which is a really good indication of how much of the country is being stolen from the people, because we've got an amazing amount of resources in this country, one of the most resource-rich countries on earth, and we have one of the smallest populations on earth, and yet we have one of the highest costs of living in the world. So with all of these resources and this tiny population, if the commonwealth of the country, and this is a commonwealth country, I believe, if the commonwealth of the country was being passed down to the people, we would have one of the highest standards of living in the world. Right. But we don't. We have one of the highest costs of living in the world. Mm-hmm. So basically our politicians are just stealing everything they can from the people. They're transferring it overseas. You know, the Australians are basically too much into surfing and beer, and they're too apathetic and they don't want to know about what's going on. So, yeah, they call all the tourists over to come here and work, but it's all these, you know, hospitality things or mining or whatever. And, you know, they spend all their money while they're here anyway, basically.
Yeah. Yes, I think it's good for young people to travel the world and see different cultures and that, but also stay here, I think, is what is needed, because if a lot of well-educated kids leave and go to another country is not helping us, you know what I mean? We need people here to be strong and stand up, because we have all we need here.
Well, we do. We have all we need in all countries if we just manage them correctly. You know, it's good for people to travel and get to see that the people in these other countries aren't a threat to them, and that we're all basically in this together and we're all the same. But yeah, I mean, why look for your fortune in another country when it's going to be the same wherever you go? You're going to be facing the same issues, and you're not going to have that solidarity of community. This is what multiculturalism has done as well. And I've got nothing against multiculturalism. I think people should, you know, I like people from all cultures and all countries. But when you move to a country, you should merge with that culture of the country, because that way you have common unity in the community. When you have, the Greek sector and the Chinese sector and the Japanese sector and the Pakistani sector and the Russian sector and the German sector and all this sort of stuff, Then if you do try to affect any positive change in your community, well, you've got all these divided cultures within your community.
That's right. Yeah.
And they don't even speak your language half the time. So how are you going to be able to unite these people to bring about a change which is going to be for the common good?
Mm-hmm.
This is why multiculturalism has been brought in everywhere, just to divide the community.
That's right,
yeah. You know, I've got nothing against multiculturalism. I don't see them as a threat to anything or anything like that. I just see it as a way of keeping communities divided. And again, this is separating countries. This is making people interdependent upon other countries and keeping these connections and just dividing and conquering. That's what it's all about.
Unfortunately, what's happening when immigrants do come to countries like Australia or Europe or whatever, and, you know, the government says, come on, get all your benefits here, and they get a lot of the things that the local people don't get. So then, therefore, you get resentment, you get racism. And there's trouble there, you know. That's exactly.
Yeah, it's all done to divide the community. That's why they do it. That's absolutely why they do it. And people only see this as a threat because they think the system's real. They think money's real. They think they need to connect this stuff. Or why do these guys get all the benefits that I don't get, you know? Because the government wants you to not like them. That's why, you know. And you only think that way because you're trained to think that way. They don't know. They just come from a country. They just say, oh, this is great. I'm getting all this stuff. They're happy to have me here. They don't know why their neighbours hate them. They can't figure it out. You know, so it's all done to divide people. And, you know, people are trained to think this way. They need to break down these barriers and realize that the money isn't real anyway. You know, why do you have to pay to be alive? People never ask that question, you know. But it's all done to divide and conquer. The whole lot is done so that the human race can never get a coherent grasp on reality and can never stand as one united force. Now, you never get all the British people standing up with the Irish people, because half the Irish people are in Britain and half the British people are in Ireland, or else they're somewhere else, you know. Like, you know, it's ridiculous. The whole of humanity is divided into these little pieces all over the place, and it's basically a fractured consciousness. And it's been done by design, you know. Order ab chaos, order out of chaos. You've got to create the chaos, so then you can, from that, you can create the order that you want. And that's what's being done.
It won't be a good order, though, the way they intended, unless we break out of that.
Well, we are. We are breaking out of it. And it's conversations like this that help, and people just becoming aware of how it all works. See, the system's got to be exposed, but it's got to be exposed in the right way, not in the wrong way. I mean, some of the stuff they're doing, they're working all they can to expose it themselves. I mean, look at 9/11. It's so obvious, it's ridiculous, you know, but people still question it. But, you know, it's all the externalization of the hierarchy. That's what they talked about. They've got to have the workings of the system become apparent to people so people will rise up in violent rebellion against it, and then they can lock society down. But I believe we need violent rebellion. I believe we can do it through peaceful rebellion. I believe we can do it through lawful rebellion. I believe we can do it simply by seeing each other as valid and recognizing who and what we are ourselves and applying our spiritual understandings to the 3D reality in which we live. That's how I think we can do it. I mean, we've tried violent revolution in the past, but we've never been spiritually evolved enough to be able to take responsibility for ourselves and really bring about an evolution of consciousness through the whole transition. And now we have the opportunity to do that. People are becoming more spiritually conscious. They are becoming more aware of who and what they are. And now I believe that human consciousness is getting to a point where it is evolved enough to bring about a complete revolution of consciousness, a complete revolution of our society, but it would be more of an evolution of our society. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do, and that's where we're going. I think we've now been given the best opportunity we've ever had. I think this is a real turning point in human history, because this is the first time in human history, or in modern human history anyway, that we've been awake enough to be able to deal with this change in an effective way.
Yeah, that's right. And what do you think, Max, people can do? I mean, what can we do about the apathy? Because a lot of people are aware that something is wrong, and some of them even know exactly what's going on with the chemtrails, but they just shrug their shoulders and say, there's nothing I can do. It's all hopeless anyway. They will never change.
Well, lead by example. You know, we've really got to lead by example. And I believe people think that way because of the electromagnetic soup they're swimming in, the fluoride in their diets. Fluoride makes you think that, well, there's just nothing you can do. You know, it's just kind of apathy. Just go back to the norm, you know. They use fluoride in all the camps through the war, in the gulags in Russia. They use fluoride to always keep people in a docile state. They found in Germany in World War II that if they added fluoride to the camps, they could they could only use 25% of the guards. They could go from 100 guards down to 25 guards in some camps. And I mean, all the stuff that happened through there, it was just a beta test. This was all run by the bankers. They were just testing stuff. You know, it wasn't, none of that stuff happened the way people think it did. None of the wars, any of the stuff that's happened in the last 200 years has happened for the reasons people have been told it happened. And it's all been tests, and it's all been leading up to exactly where we are now. So the best thing people can do is to lead by example. Clean up your diet. Get the fluoride out of your diet. Get the fluoride out of your toothpaste. Get rid of your mobile phone. Get rid of all your wireless technology. And really clean up your diet. You've got to be eating organic food. That is a really, really big thing that people have to do. You've got to get all this GM stuff away from you. Get rid of your television. You know, there's even people from the CIA, and one of the things they've said is that It's really hard to get anything out of a CIA officer or anything, but one of the things these people will always say to you is never, ever watch television. Mm-hmm. Television is damaging you. It is absolutely damaging you. And now television's gone digital here in Australia. I got a letter from the government, actually, the other day saying, I believe that you don't have a digital set-top box, and we'd like to give you one We're going to close the analog network, I think, is on May 30th this year. And if you don't have a digital set-top box, you're not going to be able to get television past May 30th. So how would they know that I don't have a set-top box? You know? But hey, I got a letter in the mail. I thought, no, I don't want your set-top box because this is the digital carrier waves. This is more electromagnetic pollution. And these things spy on you. Everyone's got one in their house, and now they got all sorts. They got televisions coming out now with facial recognition. New Samsung television, facial recognition and voice recognition on the television because they're 3D televisions. Oh yeah, we can pick where five people are in the room. We can adjust the pixels so that it's perfect for where these people are sitting, and we can recognize who they are. You're putting a surveillance system in your lounge room, right? And people are paying for this stuff. Oh, this is really cool. I've got my 3D TV. And I realize the 3D TV is watching them as much as they're watching it, and it's got face recognition and voice recognition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's incredible where it's going. Yeah. And people are paying for it. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. But you say, yeah, you got to lead by example, and just one example that I had was a lady I met in a health food shop, and she went through, there's one of the motorways, there's an electronic toll on it, and she never paid it and left it for a long time, and of course all these fees built up and everything, and then she realized she owed them like nearly €1,000 or something, you know, something ridiculous, made up fantasy thing. And then she tried to bargain with them and whatever, and they took her to court, but she wasn't there, but then they ruled that they can come and take some possessions from our house and everything. So I helped her out with that. I told her to do an offer of conditional acceptance first, I think, because she had contracted originally, so let's see what happens with that. But now she's like so keen about all this stuff. She never knew anything about this, you know. And I said, who told you you had to pay to drive down a road? So once you see something simple like that, and they see it then, you see, you're being conned. And then you go down the kind of, you know, the legalese stuff and how that's all been twisted. And that's how they win, you know. I fought the law and the law won. Why? Because they got the rule book.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's another way you can lead by example. And it is a really, really good part of the waking up process, you know, for people to become aware of the fictional legal system that they're allowing to control their lives. Mm. Because it's all fiction. And yeah, it is. It's very empowering. That's a great way to wake people up, just to let them know about natural law, let them understand a little bit about trust law, let them understand what they are. They're a human being. Mm. They're answerable only to God. And this system that we created, this system is a creation of society. Who created society? Well, we did. The individuals within society created society. Society itself created this political system and legal system within it. So it's way down the food chain. There's nothing that exists between you and your creator, whatever you perceive that to be. Why would you perceive that you have to follow anyone else's rules or regulations? Mm. You know, they give you this certificate, this dead corpse, this name, and you think you are that name, and so you operate within those parameters. But it's all fiction. The whole lot of it's fiction. You're man, and you're answerable only to your creator. You're man or you're woman, one of the two. But basically, man is the species. And all you're answerable to is the creator. Why would you think that you're anything but free? The only reason you would think that is because you're trained to think that through this indoctrination system. Mm-hmm. You're taught that this is how the world works. Mm-hmm. And we just go, okay. And we never question.
Mm. That's it. You know, if people just research and read a bit and then just see it, it's all there. They've told us anyway. It's all in their books. You know,
well, it is. It's all there. It's all in their heart, too, Bri. If they just look in their heart, they'll see that it's there in their heart. They already know this. Mm. That's why a lot of people, when they listen to my show, they think, wow, it's like you said something that I knew, but I forgot that I knew. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's because it's true. You did forget that you knew, but you do know this. It's all there. All information is there. It's all in the field. Mm. every thought that was ever uttered left that person energetically and became part of the field. It's all there. All the information's there. It's all around you. You can read things in reality that you wouldn't ever perceive to be there. It would just amaze you if you can get these higher senses working and you can start reading the energy around you and communicating with reality on an energetic level. That's how you do it. That's how all this stuff comes to you. And really, it's all just common sense and stuff that you all know, but you just forgot that you knew.
Yeah. There's just a question came in. It says, which two wake-up vids would Max suggest? Wake-up video.
Well, that's a tricky one, you know.
I'd like to say
some of mine, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the Fight the New World Order, a global non-compliance film, really, really did well, and that woke a lot of people up. There's so many videos coming out now. Just find what resonates with you. I mean, I like a lot of what was said in Zeitgeist, but there was a few discrepancies with some of the stuff, and there was a lot of attacking of Christianity in it. So you've immediately alienated all the Christians, and that's not a good idea.
No.
So you've got to put all that sort of stuff aside. Just find something that resonates with you.
Yeah, I think it was a kind of a combination of things for me, Max. I mean, I saw Zeitgeist, thought it was great at first, and then I just kind of saw other sides to it and looked into a bit more stuff. And then you just come to your own conclusion, and then you put things into practice, and you see it working for yourself, and you go, ah, now.
For people who are really, really asleep and totally locked within the Matrix, there's a great film called The Corporation, which is a really good film, and it's kind of a mainstreamy film, and it just shows you what a corporation is. And a corporation is a psychopath, okay? And when you realize that our society is run by corporations and this is how they function, that can give you a completely different perspective of reality. So if you've got someone who's completely asleep, that doesn't want to know about 9/11, that doesn't want to know about cold seam gas, that just thinks the world operates in a certain way and doesn't want to know about conspiracy theories, then show them the film called The Corporation. That might crack that little shell and get them to see how it works. And then you can talk to them and say, well, okay, if you can see this is how a corporation works, and then you can go and look up UCC filings, and you can look up things, and you can find all the corporate numbers of the countries. You can find all these things, and you can find that Australia's a corporation, Ireland's a corporation, all these things are corporations. They've all got corporate numbers. Okay, well, you just saw how a corporation works. Look at the corporation of our government. Look at the way our government always supports corporations and gives these corporations the rights of people, but not the responsibilities of people, not the liabilities of people. Now, you can do things and you go to jail for them. A corporation can do it and nobody goes to jail for it because the corporation isn't real. It's a dead entity.
Yeah.
Corporation. It's a corpse, you know. It's just a name. So they teach you to operate within that world as well through your driver's license and all this. This name that you use, that's a corporate entity. And yet you say you are that corporation. I am that body. And so they throw you in jail. You have to suffer all the things that the corporation doesn't. I mean, your license doesn't ever get in trouble and go to jail, well, it should, but you say you are your license. So your body gets the trauma from the all the corporate grievances, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But the big corporations, they know this, and so they never claim that they're the corporation. They just have CEOs and all this sort of stuff. So The Corporation is a fantastic film for people who are completely asleep, so I would recommend that.
Yeah, another one. Is Corporation Nation. I don't know if you've heard of that one. By a guy called Clint Richardson, I've had on as a guest here. Have a look at that. It's about 3 hours long. It mainly deals with America, but he shows how deep the corporation goes. It goes right down to school bodies and whatever, that far. And then when you see also the follow-up to our pension funds and where they all go. And it's basically theft. That there's only one word for pension, and that's theft.
Well, really, yeah.
Yeah, and it's all the money is invested in the usual suspects, you know, Goldman Sachs, Texaco, or you know, all the big oil companies, the banks. Unbelievable.
Well, money's one of the most misunderstood things on the planet. It really is. I mean, the whole and there's so many rumors and disinformation, even in exposing the money system. But the money system is insidious. It absolutely is. We could do a whole show on that, so I won't even bother getting into that now. But
You've spoken to Mike Montagna, haven't you, MPE?
Yeah, well, Mike will tell you what's going on. I mean, it's insidious. The whole money system's insidious. We need to eliminate the banks, get rid of them completely. We don't need them at all. All they do is steal from people. It's their only purpose is to steal from people. No bank ever lent anybody anything. Mm. All it did was steal from people. And that's all banks do.
Mm. Absolutely. So, Max, 2012, we're nearly halfway through. Lots of possible scenarios on the horizon. How do you think I think we'll get through this. I think we'll see it through. Something will come right.
I hope so. I think this is a year of tipping point. I'm really hoping to see some major awareness happening this year. I am seeing it, but we've also got to participate in it ourselves. You know, we've got to, you know, go and get involved. There's a huge coal seam gas rally in a nearby town today I'm going to go to when I finish this show. And things like that. Go and speak out. When you see injustice, you've got to speak out. You've got to start taking responsibility for who you are, all the people out there. You've got to know who you are and know how to stand in who you are, and you've got to respect people around you. I think this is a year we have to do it. And they're really trying to ramp things up. You know, all those hundreds of millions of rounds of hollow points that we just bought by Homeland Security in America. You got all this legislation being brought in everywhere around the globe. So they're really preparing for something. And it's been interesting on the other fronts as well. I mean, all the strange noises that people are hearing around the planets, whether these are real or made up, all the bird deaths and all the weird stuff that's going on, dolphins and whales beaching themselves and all sorts of weird activity going on globally, all sorts of weird sun activity happening. So it's all kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it is causing people to expect change. And it's change that I don't have to participate in. I don't have to do anything about reality because it's all going to change for me without my need to participate. I think people need to get out of that mindset, and they've got to realize that they do need to participate. You've got to lead by example. You've got to start respecting people. You've got to be speaking out against injustice and helping humankind go in the direction it should be going. I think there's a lot of people that are waiting. I think a lot of these reports of all these weird things that are happening around the planet are being done simply to cause people to keep waiting. And I'm seeing other reports, you know, there's going to be mass arrests, there's going to be disclosure, there's going to be all these things, so you don't have to do anything. You're going to be saved. I've seen a lot of this happening, and people need to get out of that mindset and start applying themselves to reality around them. I think that's what's going to make the difference, and I think that's the opportunity we've been given this year, more than we've ever had. So we've got to step up to the plate. This is the year that we have to do it, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And solutions, what can we do? We just have to...
Well, like I said, man, lead by example. Get out there and speak out. Everything I just said.
Yeah.
You've got to get involved. Go and get involved. Go to your local council meetings. Go and speak to your councillors. When there's something happening in your town, go and speak. Go and speak eloquently. Go and speak politely. Ask the bad questions, the painful questions. Ask the questions that they don't want you to ask. And don't be silenced. Go and ask these questions, you know. So speak out. Lead by example. Be a pleasure to be around. Help people. You know, be an improvement, you know, like improve reality by your presence in it. That's what it's all about. You know, we can change things, but you've got to get involved. Get involved in a grassroots level, because that's where the change is going to come from.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know who you are. And that, you know, no authority or government can tell you what to do. You have to stand strong. You have to lose the fear in this construct we're in. Because once you know who you are, you can do what you want, you know. You don't need to buy into this nonsense. You can live free. It's difficult at the moment. We have to live without, you know, within this system as it is, but we're breaking free of it bit by bit. I think we will get there. I think it could be a hard road. It could be tough because there's a lot of strange things going on, as Max was saying.
But I think if we have to stand together, and the people who do know what's going on, we really have to stick together and try and keep this consciousness flow going, because it's getting stronger day by day.
Well, you're doing. You've got to know what you are. Always stand in what you are. Don't be too belligerent to authorities, but don't bow to authorities either. And always try to work within the parameters of natural law. And if you see harm being committed against someone, speak out about it. And speak out against it. If you see the police committing harm against someone, video it. Speak out against it. Do everything you can to realize that this is a turning point in history, and your participation is required. It is absolutely required. Do the right thing in all that you do. You know, and if you're being neutral in the face of injustice, then what you're doing is you're siding with the perpetrator. You're ignoring the victim, because neutrality always causes a continuation of a crime. You can't be neutral on issues. You've got to have an opinion. You've got to participate in reality around you. Do the right thing in all that you do. Always speak out against injustice and improve reality by your presence in it. It's really simple. You know, if we did that, imagine if everybody did that and we all suddenly saw each other as valid. It didn't matter what skin color you were, what religion you were, how much stuff you had. It didn't matter whether I had to, you know, exploit you to improve my own life. You know, why would people do that? Why would people see that there is a sucker born every minute? I can make money from you. I can take from you stuff to improve my own life. And if you end up out on the street because of my actions, well, that's your fault for falling for it, you know. That's your fault for buying the product that I sold you. You know, why do people think this way? That's one of the big questions, you know. We've got to break out of that mindset. We've got to break out of that thinking. We've got to start helping each other. We've got to start respecting each other, and we've got to lead by example in all that we do. And that's how we change it, you know. Step back into natural law. Step back in this mutual respect. Put common unity back into the community. That's how we change reality. And we see if we do that, if we just apply that understanding to reality, the system doesn't have to break down. There doesn't have to be any shortages. There doesn't have to be supermarkets going unstocked and people starving and financial crashes and all this sorts of stuff. We can still survive in this city structures that we live in, and this system that we've got. We can still change it for something better if we simply apply ourselves to reality around us and start seeing the world how it really functions and put things back into natural law. You know, no injured party, no crimes being committed, and start holding our governments accountable. Start realizing that these guys are actually public servants. We are the top of the food chain. We created the government. We don't have to do what the government says. The government has to do what we say. Mm-hmm. We've just forgotten the power that we have because we live in divided communities, because that's the only way we can do it. We can only stand up if we have the power of numbers and the strength of numbers. So we have to break down the barriers. Yeah. We have to start seeing people around us as valid. That's the first step. It has to come from the individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a question just came in on my Skype there. Just if we could ask Max for one wish for mankind, what would that be? But I think you just kind of answered it there. So,
one wish for mankind? Yeah. Freedom.
Yeah, well.
Freedom to be all that they can be, you know? Yeah. Consciousness.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be my wish, consciousness. Just for us to return to the consciousness that we have, that's been taken from us, for us to become fully conscious, because we're not at the moment, we're sleeping. Humanity is quite literally in a trance, in a socially, chemically, and biologically induced trance. Mm-hmm. And we have to wake up.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be my wish.
Yeah, and the thing is, if we do get to a point where we have free energy and it is out there,
it absolutely is. I mean, what that thing I had in the video of Justin Hall tipping with the free energy device from carbon, you can stick on your window. Mm. Carbon, our deadly enemy, and the biggest enemy of mankind. Right, sure it is. You know, we're carbon-based life forms. How is carbon our enemy?
Exactly.
Carbon's one of the building blocks of life. Mm-hmm. They have these incredibly pollutive industries, creating all of this destruction and mayhem and pollution and environmental damage everywhere, and they blame little carbon. We want a carbon zero environment, do we? Well, if it's carbon zero, then there's no life, because most of the life on this planet's carbon-based. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to be based in if we're not based in carbon life? probably be a new type of life form, perhaps a transhuman type of life form. You know?
Yeah, and as I say, there's people like John Searle and Ralph Ring out there who are doing amazing stuff on the free energy front. And once we get that, then we can move a step further ourselves and tap into the conscious of what we can really do.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're kept in a state of financial slavery and financial terrorism, basically. And this has all been done to meet our energy needs. I mean, energy is everything. Everything we base our society on is the accumulation and collection of energy, which is all the most polluted industries on the planet. And we've got free energy systems there. And free energy would free mankind from its financial shackles straight away, immediately, as soon as free energy is available. And we can just tap into energy from the cosmos, energy from light, energy from the energy field around us. As soon as we can just tap into that freely with unlimited supply, then everything will change. I mean, everything would change. Suddenly everybody becomes free of their financial burdens because most of the cost of living is meeting our energy needs. So yeah, we really need to free up some of this technology. And that device by Justin Hall Tipping, the carbon energy device, you know, just a film you can put on your window, you coat your car in this stuff, coat your airplanes in it, coat your trains in it, get free energy from light. Just not sunlight, just light. You know, harvesting the electrons from light. And this is available now. I mean, these people are doing this. So, you know, that's the sort of stuff we need to be looking towards. That would completely free all of humanity. That's why it's been so suppressed. All the free energy devices have always been suppressed because that's the main system of control.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that could free us, give us a better life so that we have some time to think about what we actually want and not just continue in the hamster wheel that we are in, is being suppressed.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, because it's all about harvesting our energy. You know, the people who are in control, they like that control. They love it. It's like an ant farm to them. They have an enormous amount of fun, you know, shifting the pieces around and keeping everybody on the treadmill. And that's what they do. That's how psychopaths operate. And this whole system is psychopathic. It absolutely is psychopathic because it's run by psychopaths. And that's the thing. When a system is run by psychopaths and psychopathic minds, then that morality becomes the morality of the people beneath them, the people over which they preside or rule. So it's a psychopathic system with which, we all believe is real, and we just throw people away from this system in order to support the system. The system is kind of eating human consciousness, or human consciousness is eating itself because of its subservience to this system. And now we have the opportunity to break out from that, and we are, and we will, and it's going to be a good year the rest of the year, I think. I'm seeing more and more people wake up all the time, and it's just going to get better as time rolls forward, I think. The more in your face it gets, the more opportunity we've got to fix it. So we just have to take the opportunity.
Mm. I think it's going to get a lot darker, though, before we reach the tipping point, because a lot of people are very, I think they are clinging to the old system because of fear of the unknown.
Well, it's fear of self-responsibility as well. And a lot of people aren't prepared to be self-responsible because they don't know how to be. They've had those life skills taken from them. I mean, that's a big thing that our society has done. It's taken most people's basic life skills from them. If you got any person out of a city and you just dropped them in the forest, they would die. They wouldn't know how to survive in the forest. But, you know, my mother would, my father would, and people from the old days would. They'd all know how to do these basic things. But a lot of modern people don't. And they're scared of what will happen if we question the government or try to change things. They're scared that the system will break down, the water will stop flowing, the supermarket shelves will be empty, and society will eat itself, which is exactly what would happen if those things did occur, if those things were to occur. If suddenly the transport system stopped and everything was shut down, the electricity shut down, most of the cities on the planet would literally eat themselves. They would completely implode. And people are very, very scared of that. So they have to see that there is another way. We don't have to shut down all the infrastructure. All we have to do is start respecting each other and start using empathy as the base foundation of our system. And that's how we change it. We can keep the infrastructure we've got in place, you know. But we need accountability from government. We need honesty from governments. We need to free up the energy. Absolutely, we need to have free energy because that will free us from these financial shackles. Suddenly everything would cost 1/18th of what it does now. And then we can maybe eliminate that cost altogether, because I don't even think we need money if we come to a state where we're spiritually aware and we're conscious of each other and we work within parameters of empathy and parameters of consciousness and use this as our understanding of reality, consciousness rather than economics, you know, then we can change everything. We won't need money. We will operate from a completely different perspective. Real education, real understandings of reality, real empathy and real respect for each other. That is how we're going to bring about change. And it's got to start with the individual. It always comes back to the individual changing their perspective of reality and starting to apply that understanding to reality around them.
I feel very deeply that ethics is very important, because we're living in a world that is totally corrupted and people are participating in that corruption. They're doing things that they know in their heart is not right. For example, if they take a job cutting down the forest or taking part in the fracking. And so I think we need to learn to say no when we feel that something isn't right.
Yeah, well, we do need to learn to say no, but the problem is that people have to pay to be alive. And the jobs are being taken offshore, and it's getting harder and harder to find work. And so people are offered these obscene amounts of cash to go and work for mining companies. And so they say, well, hey, yeah, if I don't do it, someone else will. And I have to support my family, so I'll go and do it. And you can't blame them for doing that, because they believe they have to pay to be alive. They've never questioned the fact that they have to pay to be alive. So again, it comes down to the individual changing their perspective. But how can they not take the job? Because they need the money. The only way they cannot take the job is if they've got a supportive community around them. Whereas the whole community says, no, we won't do that, because we're growing all the food we need here. We're working all the stuff we need here. We're working to help each other, improve each other's properties and houses and improve each other's lives. We don't need the system. We've stepped away from it. But we don't have that community, so we have to go and take these jobs. So, you know, it's very difficult to judge the people that work within these businesses, because they're doing so because they're trained to do so. They're trained to think that way. And they're kept in a state of scarcity their whole lives, because scarcity brings out these desires in people. You've got to keep people in scarcity in order to get them to do these jobs, because then they can have more stuff than their neighbors. They can have the latest truck or the latest car or the latest, you know, clothes or whatever, latest plasma screen TV. And so I've got more stuff on you, so I'm more successful than you, because that's the way I'm trying to think. That's what I'm trying to think success is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard, man. It's really, really hard, because you see these people and they're basically sociopaths, but you can't judge them for it because they're trained to be sociopaths. That's what this system does. Yeah. That's its whole purpose, you know. Mm-hmm. So it comes back to the individual changing their perspective and leading by example, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it comes back to the same thing,
doesn't it? Yeah, it is, yeah. As I said, if I get out there and I talk to people, and if people listen to me, great. If they don't, they don't. They're not ready yet. I can't change that. Nobody can. They'll see it, you know, a year or two down the line maybe, or 10 years down the line maybe. It could be too late, I don't know. But I still have to do it, you know. Just small things, you know. People buying Diet Coke and telling them about aspartame, you know. Little things, you know.
Well, yeah, people who know have a duty to act, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and just keep that going, and if you can do more, get out there and do more. We're trying to get talks and things around the country going, and invite people just to come and listen to how the whole system works and how everyone's been screwed. We can all do it. We just have to motivate ourselves. We just have to see that we don't have to live within this construct.
Mm.
You know. But, and it's going to take some time. It might, you know, we could have a miracle, Max. I don't know. That could sort everything out tomorrow. I don't know. But.
Well, we've certainly got a long way to go. And as, your co-host said, we it will have to get darker yet, because a lot of people are going to need that. Yeah. We're not going to stand up until it's right at the last moment. Mm. Until it's right there in their face, until they've lost everything and they don't have anything else to lose, and then they'll become free.
Yeah.
And they'll stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. It may take that. It may have to get to that point, yeah.
Well, I think people have to go to that level to know that they can stand up and fight, you know, that it's not all roses.
They can stand up and fight, but they can fight peacefully. They can fight through changing their attitude of reality.
Yeah.
Fight by being self-empowered,
yeah.
and standing in who and what they are. That's all they need to do, because at the moment we don't. We're just little drones, little robots wandering around doing what we're told. We don't stand in the power of who we are, and that's what we need to do more than anything, I believe.
Right, yeah. Okay, Max, well, it's coming up to midnight here. I'm sure you got a busy day ahead of you there. So we'll call it a night here, and early morning for you. Thanks for getting up and talking to us. It was great having you on.
My pleasure, Bryza. Lovely to come on the show again.
Yeah, and Avalon wants to...
Yeah, thank you, Max, for coming. It was a very informative show.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Avalon. Nice to meet you, and keep up the good healing work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying.
Well, it's good. It's good that people are doing it. It's good that people are aware of the energy and how it works and are applying it. And good on you for what you're doing. Good on you for doing the radio show and speaking out. We need more women. We need more women's voices out here in the movement.
Yeah, absolutely. And this woman knows exactly what's going on. And she's pretty special. I think she can do things that others can't. But we can all tap in. She tells me we can all do this ourselves. We can do this.
Well, we can. Absolutely, we can.
But we just have to let go of all the rubbish that's around us at the moment. So we got to embrace that, you know.
The electromagnetic soup that we're living in is a very, very serious problem, in my opinion, Max. You've already spoken about it. I feel very strongly about that because I can actually feel what's going on in my body. I can hear some of these frequencies, and I can feel when these energies are around, and it's really sickening for people who are sensitive to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and it's something that's very unnoticed. It's way there in the background. It's not tangible. It's not something you can pick up and hit with a stick, so people don't perceive it to be real, but it is very, very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. Well, Max, keep up the good work, and you're doing some great stuff out there, waking people up, and great to have you on. Actually, Avalon wants to say something. Hang on.
Yes, I just wanted to remind everybody of Max's website, so you know where to find him. It's called www.thecrowhouse.com. Right, Max?
That's the one.
And there's his YouTube channel there. You usually do a show on Fridays, isn't it, Max? At least I see it uploaded on Fridays.
Yeah, I do a show Friday night on American Voice Radio, and I upload the show to YouTube pretty well within an hour or so of doing the show. So, yeah, that goes up once a week. I've had 2 weeks off at the moment. I've got to go back on air again next week.
And these shows are really great. I can tell you honestly, Max, that there were times when I felt really nervous about everything that's happening, and the whole world seemed mad, and you were the one voice of reason and peace that made me hang in there.
Oh, good on. I'm glad that's working for you. That's the whole purpose of the shows, really. I one day I'll do the right show that'll wake up the whole world, I'm sure.
That would be wonderful.
By the way, Max, I just got another message from Pondman here. He's a great host here on TNS Radio. He says, can you thank Max for some of the comments he put onto YT threads, YouTube threads I was writing into.
So. Oh, okay. No worries. My pleasure.
Right. Good stuff. So, Max, thanks again for coming on. And we'll stay in touch. We'll talk again, hopefully, down the road.
My pleasure. Okay. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Max. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye, Max.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.